Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ, and it's a right honour and privilege to be able to share the word with you today. I have really been looking at what the definition of a Christian truly is. And I think if we all take a moment or two to think in our minds what we think a Christian is, even if you want to pause the teaching at this moment just to give yourself a couple of minutes to write down what your definition of a Christian is. Well, I'd like to read now from the dictionary what a definition of a Christian should be from a dictionary point of view. And it would be something similar to a person professing belief in Christ or in the religion based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. While this is a good starting point, like many dictionary definitions, it falls short somewhat of really communicating the biblical truth of what it means to be a Christian. The word Christian is used 3 times in the New Testament. First in Acts 11:26, and it means, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Well, you can also read in Acts 26 and in verse 28. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 16 it says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And I found that quite strange that there was only 3 actual records in the New Testament about a Christian. Now, because their behaviour, their activity and their speech were like Christ, the word Christian literally means belonging to a party of Christ or a follower of Christ. That is the literal definition. But unfortunately, over the time, the word Christian has lost a great deal of its significance and is often used of someone who is religious or has high moral values, but who may or may not be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Many people who do not believe and trust in Jesus Christ consider themselves Christians simply because, one, they go to church, or two, they live in a Christian nation. But see, going to church and serving those less fortunate than ourselves or being a good person does not make you a Christian. And certainly going to church does not make you a Christian any more than me going to a garage and being an automobile. We go to a garage to get our car fixed, but it doesn't mean to say that I am a car. Same as me going to church doesn't mean to say that I'm a Christian. The word Christian is important, and the more I look at it, the more sad it makes me. Today I was watching a TV show called America's Got Talent, and there was this young girl on there, and she walked onto the stage with her daughter and her husband, and they were going to sing a song. And this young girl, at the age of 13, she belonged to a Christian group, and she went in for a Christian talent show, and she came first, and her voice was just truly heavenly. And she said that within a year she had CDs in all the Christian bookshops. She was going to all these massive Christian meetings with hundreds of thousands of people, and she was singing in front of them. And by the time she was 15, she was very well known within the Christian circle. And unfortunately, she got pregnant. And the group, the Christian group in which she was with. Within 24 hours, her CDs were taken out of the shops, and within 3 months, all her tours had stopped, and she was no longer, well, she was actually extradited from the Christian church. They didn't see that it was profitable to actually put her forth anymore, and that it was better to put her to one side than to promote her. And these people call themselves Christians. And this is what made me think of this, is that what is a true Christian? Like, just because we have someone that's 15 years old and she got pregnant, does that mean we shun her from the church? And then I thought, what would Jesus Christ do in that situation? And I remember, you know, the woman that was caught in adultery, and he said, he this without sin cast the first stone. And we all know that we've made mistakes. We all know that we sin. We all have issues going on in our lives right now that we are not perfect. We strive for that perfection. We strive to be more Christ-like. There's nothing taken away that we are born again. But some people are Christians. Doesn't mean to say they're born again. The only way we know is that we have Christ in us, is that we speak in tongues. That is the only evidence to other Christians that you have Christ within. So yes, we do have Christians within a church environment, but it doesn't mean to say that they are true Christians. And don't forget, the word also tells us that, you know, there are wolves in sheep's clothing around us too. There are people out there that try to blind the minds of those that believe. And yet also it says in the word that, you know, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers, those true Christians with Christ in them, are few. So again, when I thought about being a true Christian, having Christ in me, what separates me from the multitudes? And again, you can pause and you can have a little think about what separates you as a true Christian with Christ in you from a Christian that just goes to church on a Sunday. Is it that you do good things? Is it because you have something missing in your life and you think by going to church you're going to make friends and have a coffee and a chatter and talk about the day-to-day things that go on in your life, and you know there's a nice slice of cake at the end of it, and then you can go back to home thinking, well, I went to church today, that's a good thing. See, the Bible teaches us that the good works we do as a true Christian cannot make us acceptable to God. So for us to be acceptable and unto God, let's have a look in Titus chapter 3. So we have to find out, you know, what is acceptable unto God as we have Christ in us, as we strive to be more Christ-like. What are those good works? Titus chapter 3 and in verse 5 it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, it's that Christ in you that goes on to produce the good works. He saved us. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So a true Christian is someone who has been born again by God. John chapter 3, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 3 and in verse 3 it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there's one instance of being a true Christian. all these people that just go to church and enjoy their coffee and enjoy their cake, they will not see the true kingdom of God unless they have Christ within. Unless they really believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, they believe Romans 10, 9 and 10, then they're born again. But there again, you still have people that have confessed Jesus as Lord, believed Romans 10, 9 and 10, and they still play church. But let's not jump ahead of ourselves. Let's go to John, in the Gospel, again, of Gospel of John, chapter 3 and in verse 7. Marvel not, I said unto thee, you must be born again. First Peter, these are just instances that I'm showing you that you must be born again to be a true Christian. First Peter, chapter 1 and verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God magnified his word above his name. His word is so important, else he would never have done that. He would have never have magnified it above his name. It's important to read the word. It's important to get an understanding of what God wants for your life. See, what goes on in my life is insignificant to what goes on in your life. God is the judge. God is the ruler of my heart. God shows me how to walk each day, not man. And no man has a right to judge me, just like they judged that young girl at 15. You know, she was like an angel sent, singing beautiful Christian songs. You know, everybody was worshipping her. And yet, just one small mistake and they cast her out. She was no good to them anymore because she wasn't this perfect Christian. So it just goes to show that we can wipe people out before we even give them a chance. Lawrence has given up his job, he gave up his life to move the word. And I remember a man sat in my house saying that he would move the word in the whole of the United Kingdom and the whole of Europe. And I sat there and I laughed because we didn't know anybody in Europe. And it makes me quite sad actually because, you know, there was no, it was a sacrifice made by him, but God showed him through a dream. And I wasn't fully on board. It took me 6 to 8 weeks to fall in line. But he was right. God showed him. And through the first few years, with God working in him, he mended a lot of bridges and he mended a lot of hearts. And people were very thankful for the word that he was sharing. Many, many people had deliverance, great healings taking place, and people were very thankful. And we are now probably 12 years on, and it seems like people have their lives together now and they're back in their small little groups and, you know, life's going well and they don't have so many needs. And it seems like he's been pushed out, just like this young girl within the church. And it breaks my heart that we call ourselves Christians and we call ourselves, you know, believers. And that we are supposed to be a family of God. We are going to spend eternity together. And that one life, you know, means very little. And then I guess really it's not surprising when you think what they did to Jesus Christ, but you know that times have changed and things have moved on, and you know people want a leader when really we are leaders all in our own little environments, but we can't move the word in our own little environment. We have to move the word together. That's how God intended it to be. For us to be a family, to encourage one another, to support one another. You know, that it's not all done by one person. And I know that Lawrence never ever promoted himself, never put himself on a pedestal, and what you see with Lawrence is what you get. And if you look close enough, you'll find fault. And but his heart for God and for the movement of the word. And I know right now he's hurting, really hurting, spiritually and physically and mentally, because his heart is just to move the word for God and to be in fellowships and to share the word and to encourage people. And you know, everybody needs a direction, because if you have no direction, then you're lost and you wander aimlessly. And anybody that says, well, I'm okay, Jack, I can do this by myself, is a liar. And the word tells us about liars, but, you know, we can't do it by ourselves, guys. We have to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Not in each other, but we certainly do need each other. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's something that an individual has to have. And Lawrence had that faith 12 years ago when he gave up his job and said, you know, I'm going to work for God. And everybody knows the story. You know, I told him that, you know, God doesn't throw money from the sky, but God really, I saw so many miracles happening, and undeniably, you know, hands being healed, backs being healed, cancer being healed, asthma being healed. And, you know, all these things were done by faith. But it was done by that Christ in us. God working through Christ in us to perform one of the manifestations. Faith being another manifestation. You know, when God put that Christ in us, it came as a package that we could speak in tongues, we could speak in tongues and interpret. We could bring forth a word of prophecy. We had faith, miracles and healings. We had discerning of spirits. We had patience. We had everything. All in that one little package. And yet, how many of us truly walk by that Spirit, operating all nine manifestations now? It's so important that we don't forget the simpleness of the word. Yeah, we can study the word, we can find the Greek words, we can research, but getting back to the basics, like when you go to a hospital and you're unwell, and obviously being a nurse for those years, we take their vital signs and we make sure they don't have a temperature, we make sure their blood pressure's fine, and we can't progress with a diagnosis until we've taken their vital signs. And it's the same thing as us being believers today. The vital signs for us are important. Do you read and study the word? Do you speak in tongues? Do you fellowship with like-minded believers? Do you honour God with your substance? Tithing, abundant sharing, whatever you want to call it. And do you witness to the greatness of God's word? Those are a believer's vital signs. You know, getting back to the basics, you know, having those vital signs, operating those five things, reading, studying the word, witnessing, speaking in tongues, fellowshipping, honouring God, and then letting God work within you to operate the nine manifestations also, is really, you know, having that faith in God that he's going to direct your path. People say, well, you know, I pray to God to direct my path, but if you're not in fellowship and alignment and harmony with him, how are you going to hear him? How are you going to be able to defeat the adversary when he attacks? See, that's the other thing I see, is that, you know, when things are going real good for people, their connection to believers, and to God goes down, because their life is so great and everything's going well. And then suddenly the adversary raises his ugly head and they're going through a tough time, and they pick up the phone or they start praying and they're wondering what's going wrong. And some people don't like to hear the truth. And sometimes people are a little, embarrassed to ask for help, because they really do know that the problem lies within themselves first. Never God's fault. Never, ever God's fault when something goes wrong. But, you know, if we're a true family of God, we should be able to call on a believer and say, you know, I'm having a real tough time right now, and things aren't going the way, you know, that I planned. And I've done all these things. You know, I read the word, I witness, I speak in tongues, I fellowship, I honour God with my substance. You know, can you help me? Can you pray along with me? You know, I'm missing something somewhere. We shouldn't be afraid to pick up the phone and share our hearts. It's not that we share our hearts with the unbelievers, but that if we're having a tough time, that we should be able to share our hearts with our closest friends and believers. And the response should be of great encouragement. It should be from the word. It should be, you know, for a direction from God for that person. It shouldn't be, oh, I know, I'm having such a tough time too. And then we start talking about how tough things are and where's God in the picture. And before we know it, we're both, you know, under par and both having a tough time. And those tough times rub off on others. But I know that if I'm having a tough time and I go to Lawrence, all he'll ever give me is great encouragement. And I know that there are a handful of people out there that if Lawrence, you know, is having a tough time, they'll encourage him too. Having faith, 12 years ago, he stepped out in great faith, and that faith brought mighty works to pass. God showed us that he is real, that he is out there, that he just wants us to call on him. You know, I always go back to Noah, and I often put Lawrence in the face of Noah, because, you know, Noah was told to build an ark. In his day and time, in the middle of nowhere, with no oceans and no seas around him, he's building this ark. And, you know, you read the record and you can just put your own picture in there, that the neighbours are laughing at him and thinking he's some sort of weird idiot, and that, you know, how are you going to get that thing to the ocean? And, you know, we're hundreds of miles from an ocean. But see, Noah had great faith and he trusted God. And when God told him to build it, he started building it. And lo and behold, Noah really did reap the benefits of listening to God. And when Lawrence first said about, you know, working for God, and I thought he was crazy, and I had all these issues, and I would laugh, and, you know, I would say, this is just impossible. But see, it's faith that brings the most unexpected thing to pass. And while we're on this word faith, why don't you pause this teaching again, or this sharing, and just think back to when you really believed, had faith for something or in something, and what the consequences were, what great things God brought to pass in your life. Because, you know, we should be living by faith each day. Well, I guess you've had time to think about the things that have come to pass in your life and the great faith that you had to bring those things to pass, and the great things that God has done in your life. And, you know, we share the word and we have the blog and everything, and it would be lovely to hear some of your guys' testimonies and sharings on what God's done for you. Because we all have tough times, and it is great encouragement when we read, you know, what God's doing in other people's lives, and how God's given them direction, and how they believed God for certain things, and how God came through, and it's great to share it with others. You know, on a daily basis, we should have great testimonies to shout about, especially if we're doing all the things that, you know, the New Testament's telling us to do. You know, in Ephesians and Philippians and Corinthians, we should be able to step out each day with a new tale to tell, something that God's done in our lives. You know, we don't live under the law anymore, and those Ten Commandments aren't really applicable, but we do have two commandments, and that's to love God and to love our neighbour. And it's not that we get selfish in our own lives, and, well, my life's going great, Jack, and I'm not particularly worried about anybody else at the moment, you know, I'm having a ball. But it should be that we take a moment to think of others and let God work within us and direct us into what he wants us to do. And, you know, one of those things, I believe, is to support your minister. That God has placed this minister in the body. He also has given us gift ministers. And without those gift ministers in operation, you know, we can't function properly. We do need evangelists, we do need pastors, we do need teachers. And, you know, if we don't support them and if we don't encourage them, you know, the word isn't going to move like it really needs to move. And we've seen that throughout the Word of God. You know, God has his way and his plan, and without these functions, things aren't going to happen properly. But anyway, I want to finish off, and, you know, a true Christian is a person who has put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, including his death on the cross as payment for our sins and his resurrection on that third day. John chapter 1 verse 12 tells us, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. How beautiful is that? You know, Jesus Christ gave up his life so that we as individuals could become children of God. Lawrence gave up his job so that people's needs could get met through God, that people could be reunited, that people could start to put their trust and their faith back in God. You know, if you were one of those people back 12 or 13 years ago, and, you know, it was like like God had sent a bright light, you know, and the darkness that was overshadowing us was suddenly lifted, you know, and it was like, today is a new day. We were encouraged, we had enthusiasm to get out there and to share what was happening in our lives with others. And we need to get back to that point where we wake up in the morning and we feel so alive and we're so thankful to God that we are children of God. The mark of a true Christian is love for others and an obedience to God's word. I don't care what everybody else is teaching. I don't care what everybody else says. It's as simple as that. That we have a true heart for God and a true love for his people. You know, being obedient to God's word is hard sometimes. You know, we read things and we think, I can't possibly do that. But God always makes a way. He's never going to give us anything that's just too hard for us to handle. In 1 John, he tells us, sorry, going the wrong way, 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 4 he says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, obviously, like I shared, we don't live under the Ten Commandments now, but we certainly do have two commandments, and that's to love God and to love our neighbour. And if we are not doing that, you can't even put yourself in the category of being a true Christian. You may have Christ in you, but you are not being a true Christian. You are a liar, you're walking with no power, and you are a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's all God asks of us, is that we love him and we love our neighbour. And we are to be good unto the household, especially the household of God. And that means that we encourage our minister, that we support our ministers, that we get in there and we give them a helping hand. It's not just you guys that have a tough time. The only reason I'm sharing this now is because my husband is having a tough time. And it breaks my heart that he has given his life and yet he feels so alone. We are true Christians, guys. Let's get in there and start serving that body of Christ and really encouraging one another. We aren't liars. We know what it is to love God and to love our neighbour. A true Christian indeed is a child of God and a part of God's true family. And it's one who has been given a new life in Jesus Christ. We have been given a new life in Jesus Christ. And it is available for us to live like those in Hebrews 11, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. To finish off, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And I state right today that Lawrence obtained a good report. He listened to God, he moved with God. But if people aren't listening to God, then that what God intended will not come to pass. You have a man that has given up his entire life for the movement of the word, and he's there for your disposal. Use him, guys. Use him. Because what God has put in place, let no man try to judge or overrule. The pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, God put them in the body of Christ, and we need to appreciate them. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. First one, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Thank God Noah was listening to God, because the whole humans would have been extinct. There would have been no more of us. And thank God that Lawrence listened to God all those years ago. And he brought the words back into our hearts. And he reunited God's people. And I'm sure if God was to rewrite the book, his name would be in there, and so would many of yours. So let's get together, guys. Let's be a true Christian. Let's have that Christ in us manifested. And let's have that enthusiasm and encouragement one for another, and supporting one another. Because our lives here on earth are short. And Jesus Christ could come back any day. Bless your hearts.